an interest in your prayers this afternoon. I want to start out by saying that I appreciate the burden that was expressed this morning. I just was encouraged, refreshed. We're thinking of those that monuments and those pile of stones that are left behind in our experiences when we have met and others have met obstacles and been able to overcome them with the help of the Lord. I'm thinking this afternoon about our the area of influence that we have, area that we're trying to help and maybe guide and direct. And when we look on and see individuals come to those opportunities to build monuments and then turn back, when they come to places that, if they will allow the Lord to work in and through them, there can be something that could sustain them in the future. And instead, it appears that they falter right there, maybe turn back or maybe attempt to avoid that. And some of what has come to my mind is the experiences that my wife and I have had with our children. I'm thankful that we have children, and thankful for the blessing they have brought to us in our lives. But it's not, I don't know what it looks like to you when you see our family, but it's not all smooth sailing. There are difficulties, there are obstacles. I know that there are, I want to try to go in the direction of the area of influence we have, but there are children that are very compliant children, and there are those that are very non-compliant. And I don't know that we have any that have been on either extreme, but there has definitely been variations of that we've had to work with. And one of the things that has been a challenge is knowing how to react to all of the different circumstances and personalities that we encounter. And it's kind of like feeling in the dark sometimes. We don't know exactly what the next step that we ought to take. We don't want to overreact, but neither do we want to allow it to be go unattended. I think of the passage of Scripture here in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. We'll start reading at the first verse. It says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey." Well, when I look around at my family and I look around at the family of God, I believe with all of my heart that it's God's intention that our families are able to continue on to be healthy families, but not just healthy families, healthy spiritually. We want them to grow, we want them to mature, we want them to maintain, I want them to recognize the monuments that the past generations have been able to erect in their own lives. We want to know why they erected them. We want them to be able to sustain the presence of the Lord in their lives. Well, it, to me, this is the direction the words are going here in this verse. And it goes on to say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and upon thy gates." This sounds like an intense exercise. And I believe it is intended to sound that way. It says, it uses words like diligently. And when I thought it said something here about continually. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It sounds like it's all the time. All the time. There are symptoms that arise, whether it be in our children, or whether it be in our area of influence, if it's in a congregation that you're working in, if it's a Sunday school class that you're teaching, whatever it is, there are symptoms that you're going to observe. And to be able to be effective, we cannot just allow those symptoms to go ignored, and we can't just let them slide by. I have to use some of my occupational experiences for illustrations sometimes to get my thought out. And most things that we use little engines on have a governor. Your lawnmower has one, and most machinery that is used to do work has some type of governor that regulates the throttle. And that thing is constantly making adjustments for changes in load. It's constantly controlling the amount of fuel or whatever it is that's going into the engine to make the thing run smoothly, to be able to recover when the load changes. And to try to, if you've never been there, it's maybe hard to visualize, but to try to regulate that by hand when the governor doesn't work, and for you to take a hold of the actual throttle or metering device yourself and begin to try to hold that steady all of the time, it takes a tremendous amount of concentration. And you can't really do anything else effectively except try to maintain the speed. If you're using your hand or whatever you're doing, it takes, you can't do something else and leave it alone for a couple minutes. I'm reminded of a time years ago when my father and Brother Louis Marler were, I think, in partners on a combine. And I would go out as a small boy and ride with my dad. And I remember riding around in the wheat field or the soybean field, and everything seemed to be going fine until we got to the end of the place where we're going to turn around. And when we did, the reel on the combine started going really, really fast, and the lights got really bright. And as we turned around and my father put the machine back into the load, the reel slowed down real slow, and the lights got dim on the combine. It was after dark. And that was a sign to my father that something was wrong. So I remember stopping and getting out and him going back and finding that a little spring had broke on the governor. And it made that thing so erratic in its operation that he was afraid that it was going to self-destruct or it was going to stall. So the work that we needed to get done was not going to be accomplished. It had brought to a halt there. When I think of that, and think about you or I trying to regulate something, a mechanical device by hand, I want us to realize, whether it be our children, or whether it be an area of influence that we have, there's really no automatic setting. There's really no place for us. We want it to get to that point. I want my children to learn how to get a hold of the Lord for themselves. I want them to get to that place, but from the time they get here until they get to that place where they're really an adult and mature, there's no cruise, there's no automatic setting. It takes constant effort. So here's the focus of my little burden this afternoon. Wherever you're at in life, if you have little bitty children, if you have teenagers, if you have a Sunday school class, if you're trying to be a pastor or whatever your area of influence is, and you see these symptoms, you see things that look like they're going to overspeed and maybe self-destruct, or maybe you see it looks like there's hesitation. Someone is fixing to stall and lose their momentum. I want you to be encouraged to be diligent. And this verse here says, to teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. This is a full-time job. It's a full-time responsibility. For me to think that when my child gets to be 13 years old, there are people that will tell you by the time a child is a certain age that their character is pretty well formed in them, and there's not a whole lot you can do. Well, I'm going to tell you, for me to take my hands off and just let them go in an automatic mode is a failure on my part. I just can't do that. We've had some tense moments. I've had some times where I felt like that all of my efforts looked like they were going to go down the tube. I've had some times where we were literally nose to nose. Don't be afraid to do that as a parent. Don't be afraid to not be involved. When we see someone that is hesitating, that is faltering spiritually, it can be very discouraging. It is very discouraging to me. And there's many times that there's this temptation to just kind of wash your hands of it and say, well, I've done the best I can do. I'm just gonna have to leave them with the Lord. And I've yielded to some of that temptation. But I realize in my own life that I can't afford to do that. The instructions the Lord gave was that we would teach them continually to be diligent. Every opportunity we had, while we're in the house together, while any time, any association we have, to try to be an influence or an encouragement on them. For me to pull back when there's someone that I've been a part of their lives, and to just pull back and write them off, I just can't afford to do that. There may be a time that it's totally out of our control, and it's not within our physical strength abilities or our understanding to know how to deal with it, but we have to do every bit that we can. And I want us to be encouraged. If you got little children, and you think that you'll be glad when they're out of diapers. I can remember that stage, and especially if you have two in the same time that you have to change diapers, that looks like a refreshing mile marker to get to when you're not having to change diapers on two children or any children. It's been refreshing for a long time now, but it goes. That's just one phase. For me to think that, okay, we don't have to do that for them now, and realize and not realize that there's something else that's going to take that amount of time. There's something else that's going to take that much focus is a mistake on my part. I have to reckon. The teenage years, I don't know how to... I haven't had to deal with... some things that maybe some parents have had, but I've probably had to contend with things that they haven't had to contend with. I'm telling you that the hours, the amount of time doesn't seem to have changed a lot. Yes, they can do a lot of things unsupervised, but the interest that I have to have in their life is still way up there. I have to be involved. I can't put them on autopilot, even if they say they're okay. Even if they say I can do it by myself, I don't need your input. You really do. You really do. I think sometimes raising children and trying to be a help to other people is kind of like being a veterinarian. A vet, when they're trying to help a sick animal, can't ask the dog or the cow where they're hurting. They can't ask them when they started feeling bad. They have to feel around on their body. They have to take their temperature, and I don't know all the procedures they do, but they have to try to pick up enough information to know what to treat on that animal. In being a parent, being a Sunday school teacher or a pastor or anything like that, in my mind, it seems like you're having to do that. Most of the time, hurting people don't know how to tell you where they're hurting. Most of the people that are injured, that have scars from injuries in the past, don't know where they got hurt. They can't tell you that. And for me to say... Well, I don't understand how to deal with this. I don't know what... You won't tell me where it happened. You won't tell me really what the bottom of this all is. All I get is this big cloud of information that really... I know it's confusing the real issue, but I don't... You won't tell me what the real issue is. For me to just push it aside, push them aside, I believe is a mistake. So I want to... challenge you. I want to encourage you. Young people, if you're one of these days, you'll have children yourself, and Lord willing, and don't give up when you get them out of diapers. Don't give up when they learn how to walk and learn how to talk. Don't give up until they're able to be an inspiration to you. Don't give up until they're able to have a hold of the things of the Lord and of the natural requirements that we have. Don't give up. Don't stop trying to be a directing force in their life until they're able to be an inspiration to you. I believe that'll pan out for spiritual things too. Don't stop. Don't quit trying to talk about the things that will be a blessing to them, the things that will give them direction in their life. The 8th verse says here, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." This is something that is, it just becomes a part part of your existence to be able to be a to try to be an influence to them. When you see someone that comes right up to their Jordan River, to their obstacle that could be a tremendous landmark and a tremendous asset to them, and you see them circling and not conquering, when you see them backing up and going the other way, we can't just drop the ball on them. So I don't know where you're at. I know where I've been, and many times I've been discouraged. I felt like the rug was pulled out from under my feet many times, and I've not known exactly what to do. But I know this: if I will continue to point my children, those that I have any kind of involvement in their life, if I continue to point them to the Lord, and I continue to try to direct them to where our help comes from, I really believe that they'll start to, little by little, they'll start getting a hold of that. I desire your prayers that I won't get weary in well doing. It's not a time to give up. It's not a time to throw in the towel. It's not a time to be discouraged because of the symptoms we see. In my line of work, we have a section in all of our shop manuals that deals with diagnosis. And one of the pages in that is a symptom chart. And in the symptom chart, you go down and you, it's kind of like a, I don't know, you have columns in the chart, and you find the symptom on the left, and then there's some more details of when the symptom's occurring, and then it finally gets down here to what they call a pinpoint test, or something that's going to identify the problem. And there are many, many times that we face things in life, whether it's with our children or whether it's trying to help someone spiritually. There are many, many times that we're going to find a symptom and we don't know what the next step is. We don't know where to go next. We don't know what we ought to do or what we ought to try. But when we get in there and we begin to ask the Lord to direct our minds, and we begin to consistently, continually to point people to the Lord, there'll be a door open. Another step a little closer to the source. That's what I found with my children. I've seen times where I just didn't know what was the next step to do. And as I continued to show them that I cared, but insisted that I was not going to give up, I was not going to allow them to go that other path, I found that a little crevice would open here, a little crevice would open there, and we'd finally get down to a solution. And I'm not done yet. And the devil would like to intimidate us into a mindset that if we don't have the whole thing figured out, then we don't have any business telling somebody else or trying to challenge or encourage somebody. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not saying I have it all figured out. But I know this, I've seen the Lord work and help me from day to day, in one trial to the next. And I want to encourage you to continually, consistently, as you go about your daily duties, keep your focus on instructing the children in the right things. Don't ever come to the place that you feel like, well, I've done the best I can, I'm just going to have to leave it with them. Don't be willing to do that. Don't just throw in the towel. It's easy to do. That's what the devil would like for us to do. But we can't afford to just throw in the towel. We can't afford to just give up and take our hands off. I believe the Lord would be most pleased with us if we'll just consistently keep addressing the issues at hand. I want you to be encouraged. If you feel like something in your life with your, maybe your teenager, or maybe it's a little child, or Maybe they're in their 20s. You feel like it's totally out of your control. Don't give up. Don't give up. If you see little symptoms in the area of influence that you have, don't give up. Consistently point them to the Lord. And I believe the Lord will help us. You pray for me.